This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, we all dream, and some of us dream really big. And then there is our special guest who has found a way to turn those dreams into life saving realities for more than 1 million dogs, cats, and other animals in need. She's been on my radar to be a guest on our show, and guess what? It's now happening. So please welcome one of the top pet champions in America. She's the founder of the Bissell Pet Foundation. You know who I'm talking about. Please give pause and applause to the remarkable, the resilient Kathy Bissell. Welcome, welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much. What a nice introduction. I mean, you're almost making me cry.
You want to know Kathy, don't you, Kathy?
Oh my gosh, you know, it's been a dream. And you just fall into things and they keep going and you see need and you just make change. And I can't even believe that we've hit the million pet mark. It's just amazing.
And pet pals, we're going to dive into more of all the great things that Kathy and her team do for the Bissell Pet Foundation after we take this quick break. You know the drill. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. O-Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am delighted to have on our show a pet hero of mine. She is Kathy Bissell. Yeah, vacuum. Yep, that name claim. So she's sweeping up goodness to help pets in need. And Kathy, I know there's a lot of different areas. So before we dive into all that, we need to go back to Detroit when you were growing up. And there's a young Kathy there growing up with a bunch of critters. And what was it? Did you know back then you wanted to have some involvement in the world of animals? Or what were you doing as a young Kathy?
I came from a large family. And then lots of relatives. And of course, when you have a problem, your parents yell at you or something, you want to take your nearest pet and cry on its shoulder because that's the only thing that's going to listen to you. When you're the fourth child in a family, you get mixed in and no one's paying attention. But when you have pets, and that's what people need to understand, is that pets are just amazing. You can talk to them and they're going to listen to you. So I grew up loving pets and always wanted to be a veterinarian. It was my hope, but it did not happen. But I went to school. I worked for a vet. He was large and small animal. And my heart was always there. I ended up going to New York City and I worked in New York in fashion, but always loved pets and, you know, came back and it was like full circle.
Back to Michigan?
I came back to Michigan. Yep. And I worked for a newspaper. And then I just, you know, still love the pet things. Katrina hit. And I started taking pictures of the animals. And my heart went right back to all the animals that I was seeing. And, you know, things just happened for a reason. So it was a full circle of hoping to be in this place and actually doing more than I ever thought I could, even as a veterinarian.
You did a touchstone, Katrina, where people realize, and the rescue groups, people aren't leaving their homes without their pets, right?
No. No, they were not. And that was a very interesting time and a very sad time for people who wanted to take their pets but weren't allowed to take them.
Yeah.
And so we in Michigan ended up getting a lot of pets from Katrina because people flooded down into Louisiana and just wanted to help but took pets away, which is something we definitely don't do. Well, I mean, these people lost their pets because so many groups came in and just pulled. And so, you know, what the right thing is you pull from the shelter so that those animals don't get euthanized to make room for the pets being found on the streets. But people's hearts, they want to help. They go in as an emergency and they grab everything, and it's really not right. So a lot of things were learned with Katrina, and hopefully are better now. People are more aware of what needs to happen and the protocols you need to go through.
So I was trying to do some stats and looking into your background because, again, like you, I worked at a newspaper, so I wanted to do my homework. 2011, that is when Wright Bissell Pet Foundation was created. And tell us how a company that makes vacuums and carpet sweepers since 1896 is now saying, hey, did I do that right? Hey, I think we need to do something for pets. So can you kind of give us that backstory?
So I'd never been to a shelter ever in my life.
Wow.
And I went to take pictures of the dogs that came in from Katrina. I was petrified of pit bulls. Can you imagine?
Okay.
And so then I'm meeting all these sweet pit bulls that were in the shelter, and I'm like, they're so sweet. And they were mothers, you could see, but their babies
they used to be nanny dogs. I mean, really.
Nanny dogs, I know. And they're so sweet. They get such a bad rap. And so I started raising funds, just very small, for that one organization. But as we started to make more money in West Michigan, we have a few shelters. And so I started giving it away. But then we kept doing these events and making more money. And I thought, you know, this really isn't fair. There's so much need out there. So I started a foundation to properly give the money away so it could be followed up and make sure it was being used properly as well. So giving it away properly and using it properly. And that was key.
You do need a little business in there, right? You got to have some business skills.
You have to know what you're doing. And it was a learning curve. And then it just, you just keep doing and you go with what your heart says. And I, along the way, had people trying to tell me what to do, and you should do it this way and you should do it that way. And I thought, you know what? I'm going with my heart, just doing what I need to do to save animals, what I think is the right thing. And I think we've done it well. I've got a phenomenal team in place and everybody works hard to do it right for the animals. It's all about the animals. We don't use any of the money that comes in. Bissell pays for everything for us, which is amazing. So every penny that comes in goes to the animals.
And this is a big thing that we have to hit pause with your pause on this one, because what you raise 100%, tell me true, goes to shelters and pets in need.
100%. And Bissell, our company, pays for everything else. We hardly pay for any marketing. We have a little bit of it. But whenever somebody says, can you fund an event? We can't really do that because we don't do that. We fund the animals and we support the shelters.
I like that. I like that. In fact, I wear many collars in the pet world, Kathy. And one of them is that I am the editor of the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters quarterly digital magazine. Boy, that's a mouthful. But this is an all-volunteer group of professional pet sitters all over the country, and they have picked the Bissell Pet Foundation as their national charity, and they also, after each conference every year, they also pick a local charity in that area, and the money goes to you, your group, and to the local group. But what do you think about a bunch of pet sitters that say, we dig Bissell Pet Foundation?
You know what? I love it. I honestly, it makes me feel so good. It makes me realize we're doing all the right things. First of all, what an honor. So thank you for that. Oh my gosh. And please tell everyone, thank you for choosing us. We do the best we can. We really work hard for the animals. Everything, you know, as I tell people, it's a 24/7 job. It isn't just 9 to 5. My husband says to me sometimes, can you just turn it off for a little bit? It's like, you cannot turn this off. I mean, how do you say no to saving a life? It can be, 100 lives at one time. It can be one life. You just don't stop and say, I'm not going to save that life. So, wow, that is so special.
Well, what they did, and I'm just the lowly editor, but what the NAPS group does is when members are up to become members or renew, right there, they can have a choice to check and make a donation to the Bissell Pet Foundation. And some of the members say that made it so easy to just donate. There's no hit this code and do this. It's right there for you.
That is amazing. Thank you. That is really sweet. I love it. That'll save more lives. I mean, that money will go directly.
That's right.
Saving lives.
And pet sitters are on the front lines too, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So I'm interested, before we get into your current four-legged bunch, tell me a little bit about this black lab you met years ago named Bear.
Oh, so I was doing one of my events and, I had never adopted a pet before. I had started my events to raise funds for the Katrina dogs and the shelters. I had not started my foundation yet. And this dog appeared at one of my events and I had two black labs. And a dog sat next to my black labs and nobody made even they didn't even look at each other. I was like, wow, he was regal, gorgeous, beautiful lab. So were my two. And I was like, where did this dog come from? My vet said, well, she worked at the Humane Society. She said, this dog was just, given up. And I said, you've got to be kidding. This dog is gorgeous. I mean, this is a regal, beautiful lab, like perfect. And she said, yeah, he was just given up. They got a puppy and they didn't want him anymore. And I was like,
aww.
Oh, he's got to come home with me. And my husband was going away on a trip. And he said, you may not take that dog home. Do not. And I'm like, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do what I need to do. So I took the dog home and my dogs all got along. And the funny thing is that my husband called and said, you didn't take the dog home, right? And I said, no, he's sitting here with his head on my lap. So the rest was history. My husband turned 50 on Monday. He came home from his trip. I had a picture of our three dogs together in a frame that I had taken. And I said, happy birthday. And, that was one of the great, that dog changed my mindset because I had never adopted a pet, right? You don't know if you've never adopted. And so it was pretty special.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it is. And your other two labs were probably happy. And now they got a terrific trio they had at the time to goof around together, right?
They all got along like they had grown up together.
I want to see how fast you can quickly say the name of your current pets. You're on the clock. Go.
Okay. Taz, Mo, Ranger, Hank, Winnie, and Zoe. And they all have problems. They're not all black labs anymore.
What are they? Tell me. What you got?
My symbol is black labs. I have a big, huge hound dog. I have a very tiny little beagle that when I got her, she had no hair and she was dying of heartworm and everything else. I didn't know what she was. I have a dog with prototheca, a very rare disease that...
What is that?
They get it in the South when they drink red algae water. Very dangerous. My dog is the longest living dog because I spent a lot of money to help the Michigan State do research, and she is living. She lost her eyes and her hearing at the same time, but she is loving life.
Who is this? Which one?
This is Zoe.
And what kind of dog is Zoe?
She's a shepherd type dog. This is kind of more typical in this style dog. But prototheca is a bad disease. I have Hank, who was a dog out of Tennessee. I was sending a whole group of hound dogs. I thought they were hound, half golden, half hound, but he's a huge hound. He had a big, huge hernia. Michigan State, I said, I'll just take care of him, take him to a shelter in Michigan. Michigan State removed the hernia, checked the fluid, and it was a childhood cancer never seen in the dog. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So,
wow.
He's 4 years old now. And I asked them, what's going to happen? Is he going to get the cancer back? And they said, we really don't know because we've never, ever documented. No one has a dog with this cancer. So I said, I have to keep him, of course, because no one would follow that track like I would. So he's with us and he's healthy and good. They got all the margins and he seems to be
good.
He's a little meanie. He's a big meanie, I should say. And then I have Taz, who's a part hound, part lab, great dog. Big personality when I got him. He was 5 months old. really big personality, wild. So I named him Taz after a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And for sure, you are the devil dog. But you know what? It's really funny. He didn't have a calm personality. His personality is a little bit more wild. And the great thing is that he has the best personality. Guys love him because he's willing to do anything. So you got to look at, you know, these personalities. And he calmed down and he's like a perfect dog.
So I want to make sure. So we got Taz, the hound lab. We got Hank, the hound with the former hernia and cancer.
Yeah.
We have Zoe, the shepherd mix that had that algae issue. The beagle is who?
Winnie. She was very, very high heartworm. When I got her, she had just had puppies, although she was like 9 years old. She had she was coughing a lot. And I had they said she's only going to live about 3 months because the heartworm load was so big. So I took her to Michigan State and they literally removed the worms from her heart and sent me pictures. I've seen it before. And they took the worms out. And guess what? She's been with me for a year. And my husband always says to me, so how's the dying beagle doing now? She is great. She is the loudest dog I have. And she weighs like 15 pounds. She is very cute and happy as a clam. I mean, she is so cute. And then I have Ranger, who was a feral dog. He is some kind of a herding shepherd dog who was shot in the leg, had a broken femur, bullet found in the other leg. He was caught in a claw trap and he has a broken neck. And I think somebody must have hit him pretty hard over the head because he always cowers. But he's been with us for 2 years. His leg, he runs faster than any dog I've ever had. He's happy as could be. And because he's still feral, pretty much, when new people come to the home, he's petrified. But ignore him. He will lick the back of your knee and then he will...
I do that when I meet my guests when they come to my house. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, right. You have to make sure they're going to be okay. And then he'll approach slowly. So it's really fun. Did I forget anyone?
I want to make sure we got Mo.
Mo is my pit bull.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And Mo is a brindle pit bull. He's beautiful. He was found starving on a chain in Louisiana. He was found with his brother, who also spends a lot of time with me because he is adopted by somebody in Michigan. They were both pretty much dying. When asked by the woman last time you fed them, she said, I think I threw him a chicken bone a week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, he lives with us. He's the sweetest pit bull in the world. I mean, anyway, people come over and they say, I'm afraid of pit bulls. And then he licks them to death. And, you know, it's like, that's a pit bull. Are you afraid of that dog? So, you know, dogs are individual. People need to understand that.
They definitely are. Hey, I appreciate that rundown because I really want people to know who you are with the pets and who you are with helping other pets. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, everyone, we're going to speak with Kathy about a couple of programs. I want her to talk, Fix the Future and Empty the Shelters. So everybody sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Mandy Bourne. You're listening to O Behave on Pet Life Radio with your host, Arden Moore, who's now family. We figured that out.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Yep, she's here. Kathy Bissell. Kathy Bissell of the Bissell Pet Foundation is in the house. And I used to be a sports writer. I actually covered a Super Bowl and all this. So I want to throw some stats at everybody. Oh my gosh. You guys got to go to the
BissellPetFoundation.org site to check the numbers because they're going to keep going up. But I think you all have helped over 6,000 shelters in all 50 states and helped about 1 million-plus pets. Am I good to go so far on the stats, Kathy?
Yes, you are. It's amazing. We may not make contact with every single shelter, but we are there if they have a disaster or a crisis and they're a partner. We can respond to them because we've already checked them out. We know they're legit. We know that they need help. And then we also send all of our partners all sorts of information on all sorts of things that we learn. We have blogs. We have information that we share. We have toolkits. So everybody has access to all of the things they may need to be successful.
The other thing I think you should be doggone proud about is your Empty the Shelter program, I believe, started almost 10 years ago, 2016, and it has been deemed the largest funded adoption event, and you found homes for almost 325,000 pets. Am I doing the numbers right again?
Yes, yes. Although, so we support the shelters.
Okay, so how does this work?
The ones that find them, they do the adoption, but because of our marketing, which is all social, and getting the word out and making phone calls, we're able to help this program be successful and help these shelters that are in the program. We ask them to do things together. We ask them to communicate. We talk to them. We tweak this program constantly. We always have a before meeting and after meeting so we can find out what was successful, what wasn't. We used to see, for example, in the early days, dogs, adoptions. Cats weren't as successful. As COVID hit, everything kind of evened out to be cats and dogs.
Okay.
And then cats went higher after COVID because small animals and cats were the ones being adopted. People couldn't take big dogs into their homes anymore. Hence why so many people were taking dogs to the shelter. It was a problem with insurance housing and cost of vet care. So we saw a real shift. But, you know, now we're seeing dogs and cats equal again.
Interesting.
Thank goodness.
And the other one that segues right into it, your program that Bissell Pet Foundation is very well known for, started it a couple years ago, I guess, the Fix the Future Spay-Neuter Initiative. Tell us about that. That seems like that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So first of all, we were challenged by somebody to go to Puerto Rico to help the Sato Project with a spay-neuter. I was like, we can't do that. We don't do that. We don't have doctors. But she said, you can do it. You can do it. And she had been with the Humane Society US, so it was her program. So I said, all right, and we did it. We got 25 vets or whatever it was, 15 vets and lots of techs, and we got them all to Puerto Rico, and it was a success. And we thought, you know what? We know these vets now. Let's try and put them in places where we can start this spay-neuter program. So we started it in November of 2023, and to date, we have 195,000 spay and neuters under our belt.
Yeah. That's not a lot of nipping and snipping.
It's a lot. And it's a lot of incredibly talented veterinarians who know and understand that they need to help make this difference. So it's our program. It's how we do it. It's our kind of the way we do it, but it's the talent that has come along with us to make it happen. It's really pretty phenomenal. We think this year alone we'll end up doing 210,000 spay and neuters. And so it'll be just over 300,000 in under 2 years. We're pretty excited about it, but we need it to happen everywhere.
I like that. Yeah. I live in Texas, and when this show was being recorded for you to be a guest on our OBehave show, everybody knows what happened with the Guadalupe River in central Texas. And I understand that they're doing your part to help too, your team.
So how could anybody even think, right? After what that is like the saddest thing ever. I could cry thinking about it. But our team went in to pull animals from three locations in Texas that were near Kerrville, get them out of the shelters so when they found animals, they could have the space. Of course, things aren't as good. They're not finding the animals. But what I do say, the great thing for these animals that went out, and we took a lot of big dogs, a lot of 80-pounders, big. Texas has big dogs.
You do everything big in Texas.
Yeah. You do. And they were beautiful. I have to say, oh my gosh, those dogs now have a chance. They may not have had a chance being there during this time. So it's wonderful that they've all gotten out.
Where did you take them to, Kathy?
Took them to Massachusetts, Delaware, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And actually, in one of the posts we made, there's a woman holding this big dog in her arms. It's the start of my blog. And a woman from Texas wrote me and said, "That was my family's foster dog. I think they were hoping to go back and get it, but now it's gone." But we're so happy to see, you know, that it's gone off and that it's going to be successful and have a good life. So it's amazing the people that reach out. I try to always connect when I can. Of course, I get so many people contacting me.
We need to clone you, Kathy. We do.
I have some good clones underneath me.
Okay, that's a good end. Well, this kind of segues nicely into this part, which is the importance of, because disasters are hitting everyone everywhere, of the microchip, the ID. Tell us a little bit about some tips for people. I got three dogs and two cats here in Dallas. They're all microchipped. They all got IDs. They are my family. And I would love to have your thoughts on how we can improve the chances of pets being reunited when a natural disaster hits.
I mean, in all honesty, every single pet that we touch, we make sure that pet has a microchip. So any organization that's going to do anything, even with the spay and neuter, they're going to get vaccinated and they're going to get a microchip, because microchips really are important. People don't really understand what a microchip is. I think that's part of the problem. They think it's something that people can follow what they're doing. They can't.
It's not one of those Apple ID luggage tags.
Exactly. But people don't understand that. This microchip is so important because people can scan it and your pet can find its way home. And pets from California to Michigan have found their way back because they've had a microchip. It might not be today or tomorrow. It might be in a couple of weeks. But honestly, people need to microchip their pets. It's the only way they're going to get them back. And always having ID collars with something on them. I like the collars that have the names embroidered on them.
That's what ours are. Yeah. I'm in the pet safety field. You're going to go up to a strange dog, look at their tag, and be face to nose with the dog.
Yep.
You're not going to have a nose.
Yep. So it's important, right? But
yeah,
some ID. You know, my little Mo, little pit bull Mo, who knew he wanted to chase deer, he took off and was gone for 3.5 hours. And some boys were four-wheeling and they found him on a track curled up because it was getting cold. And he had his name on his collar and they called me. And he was miles away in just short time. People don't realize how fast they can go. And cats wander. Just safety for your animals. We're responsible for them. So
yes,
we're their parent. We need to take care of them.
So in addition to the microchipping, what are some things that pet parents can also do to avoid? How do you get prepared? I mean, people need to realize Mother Nature's not a nice lady anymore.
No, Mother Nature's not. I mean, I think for all of us, you know, we have to have a plan like we do with our children. In case something happens to us, right? To have a plan, where are your pets going to go? And really, I mean, I even know people who die who love their pets. If there's not a plan, those pets end up in shelters, and that's tough. So have a plan for your pet. They are your family. Treat them as family. You know, have something in writing, but also always have food, blankets in your car, extra water, a bowl, a leash. If it's cold, you want to have coats. You know, treat them like they're your family, because they are, and they count on us. They depend on us. They can't talk, but they look to us for all the help.
Here in Texas, we've had the sirens go, and we have a walk-in closet off our primary bathroom, and we actually do fun drills with our three dogs and two cats to see how quick we can get into the walk-in closet. And there they have their treats. The cats are on the carriers. The dogs are on harnesses and leashes, and there's a bottle of wine in there, with a battery-operated radio. All the things you need, right?
Yeah, oh, that's so great. But it is. You're prepared. They're your family. I mean, that's what we have to do.
What are some party messages you want people to know? I mean, I think it's kind of cool that a vacuum company is really sweeping up good things all over the country. I'm sure you get bad jokes about vacuums, right? Do you have a favorite one? Like
they suck or whatever. You suck, or I'm sorry. I hope that's okay to say on your
program. It's called Oh Behave. You're okay.
Okay. Oh Behave. Okay. So yeah, you know, it's really wonderful because I'm a product tester. So your name is on a product, I mean, it's important, right? I'm doing a lot of pills, but my name is on those products. I want those products to work, and I'm testing them with all sorts of different animals. So I want people to know that really these products are made for pets. We made a conscious decision to get behind pets and get behind shelter pets as well. And I love that. And it was all organic. It was nothing that was like a plan to be, you know, anything. It was just happened. And that's what I love. And I feel like I'm living my dream.
You are.
Helping people with their pets and with cleaning up.
And you don't suck, Kathy.
Thank you.
Hey, tell us again how people can find out more. Where do they go?
Thank you. If they go to BissellPetFoundation.org, they can see all of our great work. You can sign up to get our emails. We have blogs. We have emails going out, something called The Dish. We talk about a lot of shelters and great things that are going on. We like to spotlight our good shelters. I mean, there are a lot of good people out there making a difference for pets, and we like to put them in focus. So please, if you're looking for a pet, choose adoption first, because right now the shelters are full and people need to think about their choices. I don't know. Some people say, I couldn't find a pet at the shelter that I wanted. It's like, you've got to be kidding. Every time I go, I want to take home every single pet. I mean, their faces, their eyes, the cats reach through the kennels. They all want to touch you. I mean, yeah, put your paws up, right? And make a difference.
Well, we like that. We like that. Hey, everybody. I have been honored to have on our show Kathy Bissell. She's a doer. She's a caregiver. She is there for us pets, for the pets, the shelters, and beyond. And please go to the BissellPetFoundation.org. You're going to find out more stuff. I also want to give a salute to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. We haven't got to the moon yet, but hey, you can dream. And humbly, you are listening to the longest running pet podcast on the planet, on the air since 2006. And it's an honor for me to host. I thank you all for tuning in. I do want to ask you, you love your pets? Check out Pet First Aid For You. That is my company. I'm a master pet first aid instructor who tells dad jokes during class. Everything is veterinary approved, and I feature a pair of shelter alums, pet safety dog Kona and pet safety cat Casey, who are both therapy pets, and we teach you fun, practical ways to keep your pets safe. So check that out if you would. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2-, 3-, 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.